Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're getting into something that feels, well, almost too simple, but it really changes how you think about learning. It all started with something an 8-year-old said, just totally matter of fact, you can't make me learn anything I don't want to learn. So our mission today is to unpack that. What does it really mean? How does it square with, you know, school? And what actually makes knowledge stick? Let's dive in.
Okay, so this quote from Gemma Rose, you can't make me learn anything I don't want to learn. It's presented not as like a challenge, but just an observation, a fact of life.
Exactly. And it's incredibly insightful. Think about it. It's like trying to force feed someone who isn't hungry. You can physically get the spoon there. You can pressure them, maybe even threaten dessert privileges, whatever.
Yeah.
But if they genuinely don't want it, the food isn't going to nourish them properly. It might go in, technically.
Yeah, it goes in, but it doesn't really count, does it? Right. It's not really consumed, not digested. And learning's similar. You can make someone sit there, look at the book, maybe even parrot back some facts. But real, deep learning, the kind that actually changes how you see things, that doesn't happen if the mind's just not interested, not open to it. You can't just pour knowledge into an unwilling brain.
Oh, but here's the thing that immediately jumps out, right? Most of us have been made to learn things we didn't want to. I mean, that's basically school for a lot of people, isn't it? You sit through classes you find boring, you memorize stuff for tests. It feels like we were made to learn.
Yeah, our sources really dig into this common feeling. The author talked about their own school days, and it sounds, well, pretty familiar. A whole system designed to get information into your head, whether you cared about it or not. Lots of carrots and sticks, you know. The carrots were things like gold stars, praise, good grades, basically bribes to comply. And the sticks, well, fear of bad reports, failing exams, maybe being called stupid or lazy, shame and punishment, classic external motivators. And look, on the surface, you could say these methods worked. I mean, the author got high marks, passed the tests, looked successful within that system.
Right, ticked all the boxes.
But here's the kicker. The moment formal schooling was done, the author felt this huge sense of relief, like, finally, no one can make me learn anything ever again.
Mm.
And almost immediately, they realized they'd promptly forgot most of what had been forced into me. Which tells you something crucial, doesn't it?
It really does. Performance isn't learning.
Exactly. Passing a test doesn't mean you've actually retained or understood something deeply.
Which leads us straight into this definition from the sources that just, wow, it really hit me. Education is what is left after you've forgotten everything you've learned. Just let that sink in for a second. What's left?
It's a powerful, maybe even slightly uncomfortable idea. Because if you got great grades but forgot almost everything straight away, what kind of education did you actually end up with? The source bluntly concludes that despite the high marks, the author didn't end up with much of an education.
Oof. That's harsh, but you see the point.
It forces us to ask what education really is.
Mm.
Is it just cramming facts for a short period? Or is it something deeper, something that sticks with you, changes you even after the specific facts are gone? And there's a cost to that forced approach, too. It's not just forgetting. It's potentially killing off the joy of learning itself, turning curiosity into a chore.
Okay, so if that model of external pressure is flawed, what's the alternative? The author's story shifts when they start homeschooling their own kids. And perhaps not surprisingly, they initially fell back into those old patterns, trying to impose learning, deciding what the kids should know, that old battle of who knows best.
Right. It's easy to replicate what you know, even if you didn't like it yourself. But that statement from Gemma Rose just kept coming back. You can't make me learn. The author realized pretty quickly that using those same old tools, bribes, punishments, trying to shame them into learning the homeschool curriculum, wasn't going to work. Not for building what they called very valuable knowledge.
So not for the stuff that really matters and lasts.
Exactly. Those external things might get compliance in the moment, but they don't spark genuine interest or deep understanding. They're kind of counterproductive for real education. And this leads to the absolute core insight here. For learning to be truly meaningful, truly lasting, the drive has to come from within the learner, not from outside pressure. The source identifies this internal driver as love. Now, that doesn't just mean, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah.
It means genuine curiosity, enthusiasm, the joy of figuring things out, that natural hunger to understand.
An intellectual appetite.
Precisely. And here's the paradox. Forcing learning can actually destroy that very appetite. It can chase away the love, the intrinsic motivation, turning exploration into drudgery.
So it's not about just letting kids run wild and do nothing, right? That's often the pushback you hear.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The adult role changes. It's less about being a taskmaster and more about being a facilitator, maybe like a curator of interesting possibilities.
Like offering a buffet instead of force feeding one dish.
That's a great analogy. You present a wide variety of interesting foods, ideas, topics, experiences. You don't force the broccoli, but you make sure it's available alongside lots of other tasty options. Children, especially if their natural curiosity hasn't been scratched, will explore. They'll nibble at different things. And then, crucially, they'll find something they develop a real taste for.
Ah, okay. So they find their own broccoli they actually love.
Kind of. And once that internal interest is sparked, that love kicks in, they'll learn it deeply, eagerly, without needing any pushing or prodding. It fuels itself.
There's a quote mentioned from John Holt's book, Teach Your Own, that apparently just sums this all up perfectly.
Oh, Holt is fantastic on this. His view is so clear. He says, look, a child might not know what specific facts they'll need 10 years down the line. I mean, who does, really?
Good point. The world changes so fast.
Exactly. But what a child does know, far better than any adult can guess, is what they are ready and hungry to learn right now. Their mind is primed for certain things at certain times. And Holt's argument is simple. If we help them, or even just get out of the way and allow them to learn that thing they're currently fascinated by, they will absorb it, remember it, use it, and naturally build on it. It's just how effective learning works. It connects to something real inside them.
That makes intuitive sense.
But then Holt gives the warning. If we ignore that internal readiness and try to force something else on them, something we think is more important, well, first, they probably won't learn much of it anyway. Second, whatever little they do pick up, they'll forget quickly.
Okay, same pattern as before.
Yes, but here's the truly damaging part, according to Holt. This constant forcing eventually destroys their appetite for learning anything at all. It kills the curiosity.
Wow. So you trade short-term compliance, maybe, for long-term disinterest? That's a terrible trade-off.
It's a profound cost. You're potentially shutting down a lifetime of learning.
And just to really bring this home, to show it's not just theory, the author shares a conversation with their other daughter, Imogen. They basically asked her straight up, is it true you can't make me learn anything I don't want to learn?
Her Imogen's answer was immediate and absolute. True. No doubt about it.
But she didn't stop there, did she?
No, she gave a perfect example from her own life. Music exam, she said, the general knowledge part, you know, composer dates, definitions, that kind of stuff. She wasn't really interested. So what did she do? She learned just enough to pass the test and then promptly forgot it, in her own words. It served its external purpose and vanished.
Classic cramming and forgetting.
Exactly. But then she added the crucial bit. But playing the music, of course, I never forget how to do that. That's the bit I love.
There it is. The difference is crystal clear.
It's so powerful. The stuff she was forced to memorize for the test, gone. The stuff she engaged with out of genuine interest and love playing the music that stuck, her brain literally prioritized and held on to what mattered to her. The joy was the teacher.
So, listening to this, what stands out to you? Can you think of examples from your own life, that subject you hated and aced the test for, only to have zero memory of it now? Or maybe that hobby, that skill, that topic you just fell into and learned tons about without even trying, just because you were fascinated. What does comparing those tell you about how you learn best?
So wrapping this up, we started with that simple line from an 8-year-old, but it's led us to something really fundamental about learning. We've seen this stark contrast, haven't we? Learning driven by external pressure, grades, rewards, fear, versus learning fueled by real internal curiosity and interest. Absolutely. And the evidence points overwhelmingly one way. It's that internal drive, that love, that leads to knowledge actually sticking, to deep understanding, and maybe most importantly, keeping that desire to learn alive throughout life. Choice and intrinsic motivation are key. And if we take this idea beyond school years, I mean, think about our adult lives, our careers, hobbies, just navigating the world. How do we approach learning new things now? If we need a new skill for work or we want to understand a complex crew, how can we tap into that internal motivation? How do we find the love for it?
That's a really practical question. It's not just for kids.
Not at all. It's about optimizing our own learning. Recognizing that deep absorption, the kind that lets you really use information, comes from finding that internal hook. Even with stuff that seems boring initially, can we find an angle, a connection that sparks genuine curiosity, that transforms it from a chore into something engaging?
That really is the challenge, isn't it? So here's something to think about. Reflect on something you tried to learn recently that just felt like pulling teeth. a real chore. Now, contrast that with something you learned almost effortlessly, maybe stayed up late reading about, just because you were genuinely fascinated. What does that difference tell you about your own personal learning style, your own operating system for knowledge? And knowing that, what might you do differently next time you face learning something new? How might you prioritize or shift your approach? Lots to think about there. Thanks for diving deep with us today.